Welcome to the Green Gab. This is Marla Esser, the Green Home Coach, here gabbing with Tony Pratt at the Sound Room.
Are you taking
a deep breath?
I'm trying to just kind of decompress right
Zen
now.
Out.
It's been a very busy week.
I know. I don't even like the word busy, but I have to agree with you. I mean, we've crammed a lot into this week, haven't we?
I think busy is the only appropriate word to use. I mean, we're all over the place right now.
I know, but it's all productive.
Well, I mean, you know, we're not even just talking about, you know, this stuff. We're talking about our normal
everyday jobs.
You know,
and when it rains, it pours.
Well, it's summertime.
Oh my gosh, has been.
Summertime's always big in the construction side of things.
Oh yeah.
And you know, we're just running full tilt right now, all hands on deck. But you know what? It's kind of appropriate for, you know, the topic you want to talk about, because it's our busy, because of our busy lives, we really need to make things almost automatic in our thinking.
Yeah, you need to build a conscious habit so it does become a habit. You're right. So we'll back up here a minute. So our deal was for today's podcast that we were going to try our little experiment of pick a word and podcast about it, right?
Yeah, I was excited about that too.
I know. Well,
Sam gets creative.
I know. So we are going to take you up on that, Sam. Listener, Sam is our wonderful, awesome sound technician and podcast guru, so
he makes us sound good.
He does. He makes all this happen. But anyway, so we are going to do one of those in the future. But I woke up with a word in my head, and what had happened is I'd have a conversation with, I'm working on a book, as you know, and I'd had a conversation with my editor the other day, and there were some topics she still wanted me to fill in. So of course, these topics have been rolling around in my head, and I wake up at 5:45 a.m. this morning with a word in my head.
And what word is that?
Recycle.
Ooh. Now, we've kind of...
We've touched on it briefly
in previous podcasts.
Yeah, so we've touched on it in various ways. And actually, one of the things I got up and did this morning so I could send you the little overview, since I had this word pop in my head, I went back and found 4 or 5 blogs or podcasts, you know, that we've done in the past that have talked about recycling in some way, shape, or form. But what we haven't done is really kind of break it down into the stuff you need to make a habit, and then why recycling is such a big deal. And I love this, and I'm probably going to get the quote wrong, but, and I believe it was Ed Begley, but I'm not 100% sure, that recycling is the gateway to greener living. And it's kind of the first thing that people will do.
Yeah, I can see that.
And here in St. Louis County, a few years back, we mandated single-stream curbside recycling for everyone in St. Louis County. So all of us have curbside recycling now. And I remember when that happened. And it was so funny because I was getting really creative about reading everything to put everything I possibly could in my recycle bin. And I'd get it just full to the top, you know, watching my trash go down, my recycling go up. And after a few pickups of this, my neighbors start coming around. How come your recycling bin so full and ours isn't?
It's probably because you had the habit of doing it where they haven't even really thought about it
Well,
yet.
I knew what to put in there.
Yeah.
I'd done the research since I'm such, you know, research is kind of what I do anyway.
With them, they're thinking newspaper and that's maybe some soda cans.
Yeah, but it was funny because after a few more months, everybody's recycling bins got a lot fuller. So it was like this neighborhood competition. But that's a good thing.
Oh, sure.
It's a really good thing. You know, it's funny you mentioned newspapers. I mean, I'm a little bit older than you, but I remember as a kid having newspaper drives.
Mm-hmm.
And we'd go around with our little wagon to all the neighbors, and we'd collect newspapers. But that was something that was recycled years and years and years ago. I mean, paper's been recycled for a long time.
Oh, absolutely.
And it's a great thing to recycle. And actually, there's a blog on my website called The Great Toilet Paper Debate, which talks about recycled paper because it can go through several iterations. Because as the fibers, they reuse the fibers, and as it becomes shorter, they can go to different products. But toilet paper is the shortest fiber, so it's a great end product for recycled paper.
Okay.
But most people think recycled toilet paper is not very pleasant, but I actually found some good stuff. But it's a great way to have end of life for a wood fiber, a wood paper's made of.
So it basically can go through different lifestyles and different, you know, lifespans as a different product.
Right. So wood pulp can be used, you know, in sawmills and furniture and construction, and then in paper making, and then the paper can be remade into things. Wood can be remade into things too, or remade into paper. So a lot of companies have started thinking about how to use byproducts, I hesitate to call them waste, but byproducts of production processes to be inputs for other pieces.
You know, when I was still in the cabinetry industry, since you talk about, you know, wood, we used to, as you can imagine, when the saws were going almost 24 hours a day, we'd produce a lot of sawdust. We had an auto shop that used to buy it from us for just, you know, pennies by the pound kind of deal. But it was a way for us to get rid of it without dumping it in landfills. Yep. And what they would use it for is to clean grease off the floors.
There you go. And this is the whole concept of, I think we talked about in another podcast, of Cradle to Cradle, mm-hmm. which is a book by William McDonough. But it talks about how in nature, there is no waste. Every output of one process is an input for another one. And that's really how you can kind of think of recycling, is the output. So rather than throwing things away, by the way, where's away?
Throwing things away. Away just means gone.
In our minds, it does, doesn't it?
Yeah, it means leaves. It just leaves.
So one of the things I really urge people to do, and I haven't done it in a long time, is go to a landfill. You may need to hold your nose, but it's amazing what people throw away. And I'm saying that with air quotes, away. Because away is not, it's more of a way of thinking. It's a mindset for us. Yeah.
Mentally, it just means it's not in my house.
Right. But folks, away is a place. Away is land. Away uses resources. Away uses processes and people and labor to deal with it. And sometimes people don't want to live near landfills. So as much stuff as we can figure out how not to put in the quote-unquote away place, we can find other ways to repurpose it. That has a longer lifespan. Now, this goes contrary to our lifestyle, which is have as much as you can. Use it, use it, use it, and don't worry about it. Just throw it away. Just convenience. And so we have these two opposing lifestyle things happening right now.
Well, and I think part of it is, you know, when we still had the generation out of the Depression, it was hold on, you know, reuse everything as much as possible, correct?
Yes, but I found then, the quote.
But then look at life now. Everything is made to be disposable.
Convenience.
Well,
But that's how we think of convenience is just to throw it away because we don't have to think about it. Somebody else does.
Your laptop. That thing's not made to be repaired.
Oh. I've talked to more people lately. I'm holding my Bluetooth. And I've talked to more people lately that are saying their Bluetooths are not lasting more than a year. They are being designed to a lot of us that are talking about this, that mm-hmm. they seem to be designed for obsolescence. So we throw them away. Now, I can recycle it in electronics recycling, but wouldn't it be a little easier if I could repair it?
This is nothing compared to what I learned this week with my car being in the shop for the accident I was in last week.
Yeah.
I'm sitting there with the owner of the auto body shop, and, you know, he's been in the area I'm in for, I guess, since the 80s. He knew my, you know, great uncle and all this other stuff. Well, anyway, what he told me was the way cars are being built now, they're made to never be repaired.
And that's a big push in the way we think about products is to make things recyclable so that they can easily be disassembled and reused. And not just cars, but all of our products. When my mom was a kid, you repaired everything.
Yeah.
Now you can't repair anything.
The cars nowadays are made to, if they're in an accident, to be totaled and disposed of.
And maybe, at best, at least scrap metal or parts harvested and reused. And metal is a great recycling mm-hmm. process in and of itself. And a lot of the metal we use today does come from recycled sources. Okay, so we got off on this topic with a lot of stories about why this is a big deal and a heated discussion and has a lot more to it than we think. When we come back after break, let's dig in a little bit more. Gavin Green today we are. I feel like I should have been Irish when I said that. Sorry about that. We got to laugh, right?
Please.
So we've started all this conversation. Recycling is really a huge topic. So let's mm-hmm. bring it back around.
Sure.
And let's talk about the practicalities of recycling. My personal experience and anecdotal experience, and I think pretty much everybody I've talked to has agreed, if it's easy, they'll do it.
Oh, absolutely.
So that means single stream recycling.
Easy.
So you don't have to figure out what goes where. You know, nice labeling on
piece of cake,
cans and stuff. So they tell you what to put in there, like paper and cans. Some communities recycle glass, some don't. Some recycle number 7 plastic, some don't. Some of the really good communities just will sort through everything. Right. I've seen they some places that
dump everything in.
Where was it? Oh, I think it was when I was in Las Vegas, and they have one trash can, and then they sort everything off-site.
Oh, really?
Trash and recycling, which I love that idea. But think about it. In Las Vegas, can you imagine asking people to put things in different containers?
Yeah, especially since that's a huge, huge, huge tourist place.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense then.
Las Vegas is actually a pretty green city. Most people don't know that. But they have to. They have so much in the desert.
They have to learn how to conserve water, that's for
sure. And electricity, so mm-hmm. Yeah. So curbside recycling is probably the easiest for people at home.
Right.
And like we were saying earlier, we have that here in St. Louis County.
So nice and easy.
Yeah. So were you recycling before we had curbside?
You know,
I put you on the spot.
We've had curbside.
That's quite a while.
To be honest, as far as I remember, I've always had curbside. When I was in the dorms, I mean, you know, there really wasn't a whole lot to recycle outside of newspapers and beer cans.
But, I would say cans.
Well, that's called
so
it.
I was
going
to say soda cans, but we'll go with beer cans.
It was college.
I know.
I mean, you know, so we didn't, I've never been one to really throw away a lot of stuff.
Right.
I don't consume that much.
Yeah, I'm the same.
I mean,
same
right way. Now, I think my weekly trash is you can fit it into one bag.
Oh, yeah. I'm totally with you. You have a girlfriend in California, and their trash can is a quarter of the size of their recycling can.
Mm-hmm.
And they even collect compost stuff out in California in some places, which I love. So at any rate, so single stream recycling makes it easy. Curbside recycling makes it easy for your home. I remember back before that was all commonplace, I had a bucket for newspapers. I had a bucket for cans because the church kids collected cans for things and somebody else collected newspapers for things. So I did that, but it was definitely a lot easier once it went to a single stream curbside.
Well, sure, you didn't have to think about it, but I think you made a good point. That's, I think, where we really first learned those habits, newspaper collections at the schools and churches. Yep. Same thing with the aluminum can collections at schools and churches.
Well, and now a lot of the schools, because the other thing we wanted to talk about was hard to recycle stuff or things that aren't quite as commonplace. But before we leave single stream recycling, this is the place to recycle the things you kind of, your everyday stuff, your plastic bottles, your aluminum cans, your newspapers, your paper, your a lot of your cardboard can be recycled there. And in most communities, glass containers and metal, like tin cans and stuff. So that's kind of your single stream, right?
Mm-hmm.
They have all the numbers on the plastic now, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, and the little triangle. A lot of communities only go up to 5. Some are doing 7, not a lot doing 6 that I've seen, but that may be real different on the coasts. But I don't know, I tend to err on the side of hopefully they can recycle it.
Right.
I don't know if that's real smart. So that's kind of the commonplace stuff we all think about. But you mentioned schools and churches. And what a lot of them I've seen when my kids were in school is now they are recycling a lot of the harder to recycle items, like they printer cartridges. And what else did we have? I think we had battery collections and
probably cell phone collections.
We had electronics, but mm-hmm. we actually had a deal when I was head of that program back when my son was in middle school. We had a deal with an office supply store. Recycling place, and I don't remember their name now, but they would come by and pick up and they would recycle it and then they'd pay us for what they picked up. So it was a fundraiser for the school.
Right. Well, in reality, I think schools should take the lead in a lot of recycling because they do go through a lot of stuff.
Well, and the school programs are teaching, a lot of times the kids will have a team where they're teaching recycling and even composting depending on the programs at the school. But it is a good place because it's a center where things are happening and people are coming too. And a lot of the harder to recycle stuff, you have to go places to take it. So for instance, if you want to recycle batteries, you end up going to a big box store or a battery store typically to collect them. If you want to recycle, the big box electronics stores have the big like 6 or 7 recycling bins outside of their front door where they take all kinds of stuff like
old
print
phones,
cartridges,
things like that, yeah.
Plastic bags can be recycled at your grocery store.
Yep.
And a lot of other kinds of plastic film bags can go in there as well.
And it's not necessarily only the bags from that store.
Correct.
Either.
And you can put in, like I have, like the bags that you'll get lettuce in or things like that, that can also go in there. So if you
any kind of do plastic a little, packaging.
Yeah, if you do a little work, a little work researching, not like physical work, you'll find out there's a whole range of things that can go in with your plastic bags at the grocery store. Other things that are hard to recycle. We were paint, and what was the other one you said?
You've got paint, you've got electronics, you've got motor oil.
That's a hard one.
That's a fun one. A lot of times,
and your tires. Although most places recycle them for you, thank
goodness. Right. I think you can take like tires and motor oil to an auto shop. And they'll take care of it for you. Of course, they're going to charge you a fee, but I mean, it is
what it
is. They
take care of it. Well, yeah. I don't think you have a choice anymore. I think when you get new tires, you pay the recycling fee.
No, I'm talking about the do-it-yourself for people.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
The do-it-yourself for people. They're going to have to take it to somewhere. But when you do get new tires, there is that environmental disposal fee on there so they can recycle them.
And there's a lot of good uses for tires. I'm seeing a lot of products that are made of recycled tires.
Well, you know the
now.
Best use, the coolest use to me?
Yeah.
Field turf for sports fields.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's all that's like recycled rubber from tires in a lot of them.
Yeah. So there's a resource that I've gone to for years to find hard to recycle stuff. And I don't normally plug a lot of things, but this resource has been around for a long time and I've found them to be one of the best, most comprehensive. Matter of fact, I went to their website this morning. It's Earth 911. I'll put the link on the podcast notes, but they have a very, very comprehensive library of places to go. You can put in your zip code and you can find places that'll recycle whatever you want to try to recycle. Most cases that can be recycled. They also are running a really nice collection of articles now that they've really redone their website. It used to be more of like a directory, but now they've got a lot of information out there. I really urge people, be a little creative. And if nothing else, repurpose something. If you can't recycle it, at least repurpose it. So, I take stuff to the we have a teacher's resource center kind of a deal here that uses materials that are not used by companies or need to be recycled that the kids can use in art projects or science projects or things of that nature. So it's anything that you can do to extend the life of an item. Keep it out of the landfill.
That's the main thing.
The landfills, we're filling them up. They're nasty. They produce methane. And I wouldn't be surprised if in a few generations, probably long after we're gone, but I wouldn't be surprised if they have to mine the landfills for materials because it could potentially be more lucrative to mine the landfills than to mine virgin materials, if you think about it. How's that for a stumper for you?
There is a possibility.
Yeah. But you think of what all goes in those landfills and how much stuff.
What used to go in the landfills, too. I'm sure. Yeah. We know that, there are some people that will never think about this and they keep throwing stuff away. But at least the proportion has decreased.
As newer generations come up, we're getting new ways of thinking. So, there's a lot of stuff that we can do. We'll talk more when we come back. Okay, we're still gabbing about recycling.
And away.
So we were talking in the last segment about how you can recycle hard-to-recycle items, things that aren't necessarily going to go into your single stream, things that might be hazardous. A lot of them are.
Everything from LED light bulbs that have mercury in them.
You mean CFLs?
The CFLs, I'm sorry.
That's okay, it's early.
I'm sorry, it is very early. I'm not used to recording on a Thursday.
And in the morning.
But you have something like that to your used motor oil if you're a do-it-yourself guy.
Paint.
Old TVs, things
computers,
like that.
Computers, there's so much stuff. So here's the deal that we want everybody to take away. Ask. Just ask. Find out if there's a place to take it to recycle it. If nothing else, donate it to someone so it can be reused. But don't just throw it away.
Well, chances are if you're getting a new refrigerator, a lot of times the companies that are delivering it will offer or will have a service to where they will take your old one away.
Well, the utility rebate, a lot of the utility companies will pay for your old refrigerators to recycle it. So there's lots and lots of ways out there. We'll put some other resources up on the podcast notes. But please take a moment and think, how can I do better by this item? So it really kind of made sense. when I was looking up some quotes. I don't know why I had quotes on my mind this morning, but this was one that really, a couple of them that really made sense. Love this one. The greatest threat to our planet is that someone else will save it. So that's that whole philosophy of responsibility. I know that's a scary word these days, but if you have responsibility to others and for yourself, that goes with all the stuff we use too, right?
Sure.
And then there was this really long one. If it can't be reduced, reused, repaired, rebuilt, refurbished, refinished, resold, recycled, or composted, then it should be restricted, redesigned, or removed from production.
Well, that's an interesting thought.
I know, that one got me thinking. And then I did find the one that I keep thinking I can't remember from my grandmother. I did find out it's a old New England proverb.
Okay.
And that is, use it up, wear it out, make it do, or do without. That's what I've been trying to remember for weeks. I'm going to emblazon it on my iPhone somewhere.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, that would have went on with, well, if you think New England, one of the oldest parts of the country, you know, you have people coming in, you know, settlers.
Yep. They had to
living
make
way out in the woods.
Pioneers,
I mean, you had
yep.
what you had, and you yep. made it last.
Well, and that was what my grandmother always told me. You know, this is the way we lived during the Depression.
Right.
And it was that mentality. It was that pioneer mentality that you just made do and you got creative.
Let's be honest. I think it was that same mode of thinking all the way from founding of the country through the Great Depression.
I would agree.
What changed was the 50s and 60s.
Post-war production.
Post-war production.
Had lots of stuff, and we were proud of putting it out there.
Mm-hmm.
And we were, so boy, there's a connect the dots I'd never thought about. So we were a production king, queen, maven, royalty during World War II. In 4 years, we not only won the war, we produced everything we needed to win it. So when we came out of World War II, we had that mentality.
Yeah, we...
And I had never really thought of it that way. But
not
yeah.
Not only that, we
Whoa.
Had the mentality of, we have this economy that's humming along. There's a lot of economists
yeah.
that will tell you if it weren't for World War II,
yeah, it would be
we
very
still
different.
Would have had a long struggle getting out of yeah. the Depression.
Yeah, I agree with that.
But not only did you have this booming economy where you're building all this stuff, but now you had all the troops that had to come home and you had to employ them.
Right, right. So you fast forward to today. And now we have massive convenience and things being designed for obsolescence because that makes us more money. Repairing and refurbishing things doesn't necessarily make more money. So we've got to change some mindset here that money may not be the king everyone is putting it up to be, that maybe longevity is it has something to play with this, something
well,
to do with this.
Yeah.
It's going to be a mindset change over several generations. It's not going to happen all at once.
Well, it's not only that. I mean, let's take your laptop right here,
okay.
for example. Have you ever had a laptop repaired?
Yes, but not this one. This one, I can't even get into the battery.
So now...
I can't. I mean, it's everything's sealed in this one.
The last laptop I had that went bad, and I took up to get a quote on it being repaired, it was cheaper to buy a new one.
Yeah, and that's what's happening more and
yeah.
more. So if you can, so an action you can take is look for things that can be recycled or repaired,
mm-hmm.
things that can be last longer, so they're more durable. It's a challenge, I will tell you that. And so if you can't find things that can be recycled or are recyclable, sorry, the tenses of recycle, right? Then at least find ways that you can have, you know, the components can be reused or repurposed or taken out. So for instance, a computer might be disassembled in a chop shop and sold for the parts of the precious metals that are in it.
Right.
So it's not an ideal one, but at least it's not going in the landfill. And yes, there are all kinds of negative stories for positive stories. The general movement still seems to be positive. There always seems to be some negative element in this. I'm aware of that. I'm sure we'll get comments on that. But the general forward direction is let's get things, not just dumping them in the landfill, not just not thinking about it, take some action that's purposeful.
Well, there's always going to be somebody trying to push back against the movement.
There always is. We're not going to go there. We'll run out of time.
The main thing is, it's all about using our resources more efficiently.
That's exactly
And
it.
If it's more efficient to drop the laptop off so the metal in that and the precious material can be reused somewhere else, it's better than trying to strip mine China.
Exactly. And that's a great segue because recycling not only keeps things out of the landfill, it saves material,
mm-hmm.
It saves oftentimes water and almost always energy because it costs less energy. It uses less energy to use a product that's already partially processed,
right?
Rather than a complete process. There was a school education series that botanical gardens used to do, and they would show a group of school children the difference in processing a plastic water bottle from scratch versus using a recycled bottle to make a new bottle. And it cut out about half of the steps. It was impressive. And the way they did it, they did like a big circle and string, and they showed the kids how much of the process was cut out. But it really made an impact on me that that matters. That's a lot of steps that come out of the process when you start with a product that's already partially processed or fully processed.
Yeah, because the material's already been made.
Right.
Now it's a matter of just molding it.
Right. So, you know, that's why plastic is a great material to recycle, even if it's not such a great material for our oceans. But it does recycle into a lot of products.
Right.
A lot of them do. So think twice and act as wisely as you can. Look for places to recycle items, even if they're out of your comfort zone. We'll give you some resources to get you started. And buy recycled. What's the easiest thing to buy recycled, do you think?
Oh, wow. Paper plates, paper goods.
Paper, yeah.
Things like that.
I buy recycled toilet paper, recycled paper towels. I actually buy them at a big box store that you would never expect, because it has to do with office products. what else should I buy recycled?
They have to pay for the promo.
A lot of cardboard. Yeah, they do. a lot of cardboard is recycled and it doesn't say much on it. It's kind of down in the fine print. Steel is almost always recycled, made from recycled steel.
Yeah.
A lot of aluminum. And there's a lot of products that you're buying that are recycled that don't necessarily toot the horn.
Yeah, you would never know.
Yeah. So keep it up, folks. We're making progress. Remember that this is your gateway to greener living, right?
Well, it makes sense. It's the easiest thing to do.
And our kids are going to do it without us, so we might as well get on the bandwagon, right?
Absolutely.
Totally. Well, hey, as always, this time goes way too fast. Thanks for joining us on The Green Gab. Check out the podcast notes at greenhomecoach.com. You can also see the other podcasts there, and have a great green day.